Please the court, Richard Abbott on behalf of the appellant Donald Pellicone. This is an appeal and a condemnation action filed by Newcastle County Government involving two legal issues. The first issue is what we term the Trojan horse argument. The second issue is what we would frame as the lack of decision and statutory interpretation argument. And I'll take those two in turn. The Trojan horse argument, as its name implies, is that the county is attempting to lend its eminent domain power to the United States Army Corps of Engineers. This is a federal flood control project, and pursuant to the definition of the term public use contained in Title 29, Section 9501, capital A, enacted by the General Assembly just 4 years ago, public use does not include a federal agency. So in terms of the ability, and it's logical, of course, because the Delaware state constitutional power of eminent domain is only intended to be utilized for purposes of Delaware government uses, not federal uses.
Let me interrupt you for a second. What's wrong with the county providing that aspect of assistance, if you will, to this overall project? The project's in Newcastle County. It affects the residents of Newcastle County. The county has some financial and peripheral other involvement in it. So even if we take your position as it is, that this is really a federal Army Corps of Engineers project, not a county project, what's the problem with the county being a small participant and taking care of the eminent domain?
Well, the county has no formal legal role, of course, based on the documents. The uncontroverted record evidence establishes that at best, DENREC, the State Department of Natural Resources, has a secondary role, but the county basically doesn't have the ability to utilize its eminent domain power to hand off to another entity, because following that to its logical conclusion, we're back to the main reason that the public use provision was enacted in 2009, which is to prevent Trojan horse takings for purposes of giving to a private entity.
But I thought the record establishes that the county does have involvement in this project, albeit not major involvement. It has contributed money, correct?
It has expended funds in support of the project. It has not donated any of the money that will be utilized for construction of the project.
Oh, and you have to be part of the cranes and the digging in order to be part of the project? I mean, there are people who draw plans. There are people who do surveys. Aren't they all part of the project?
Well, the project's being undertaken pursuant to the provisions of the federal 1948 Flood Control Act. That's why the lead is the U.S. Army Corps. Pursuant to that act, there needs to be secondarily and only a second party, a local party. In this case, pursuant to the 2009 agreement, as a matter of law, that second party is DENREC. DENREC doesn't have eminent domain power, which is why I would surmise the county said, oh, don't worry, we'll use ours. But the county has no, as a matter of law, this is not a county project. It's mere ipsy-dixit.
And I thought it was that a doesn't Trojan horse.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're confusing Greek and Latin here. All right, so of the three players, the only one that has eminent domain power is the county, correct?
And it has limited eminent domain
all right,
power.
But it's the only one that has any
correct.
Eminent domain power.
That's correct.
Just to make sure I have the understand the bare facts on the ground, the most of the money for this and the manpower is coming from the Corps of Engineers, is that right?
All
of it, okay. And DENREC's involvement is what?
I don't know. The Newcastle Conservation District, which is technically an independent entity but receives support from DENREC, has also been involved in certain meetings and so forth. And I believe DENREC was involved back in the early 90s in helping to fund the federal.
So it's been involved in the planning, and to the extent it has jurisdiction, it's exercising its jurisdiction to allow this to go forward. I mean, it's involved.
Denrec? You mean Denrec?
Denrec, yes.
Yes. Denrec signed the agreement with the Army Corps in 2009 saying that they would acquire the easements.
Okay. Now, if no, obviously there would be no problem if all of this could be done at the Army Corps' expense and without any imminent demand or condemnation, but apparently this project does require condemnation. My understanding, though, is that the land, that is the portion of your client's property that's going to be taken, is actually a very small sliver. Is that fair to say?
There are temporary easements that are very small. They will be utilized for, I assume, placing the equipment to dredge the 3-foot depth, additional depth of
right.
the creek.
Right.
There's a permanent easement which will lower the elevation. That's what really causes most of my client's concern, because he's concerned by lowering part of the elevation of his land, he's going to be more subjected to flooding. Because this flood control project, by the way, isn't going to solve the flood problem, because just immediately downstream...
Is that what's at stake here, then?
I'm sorry.
That's what's really at stake here, the concern that this project, if it gets completed, is going to increase the risk that your client's land will be flooded.
Correct. And the reason is, immediately downstream from his property, there's a railroad bridge. It's an old stone bridge. It's where the Amtrak and I guess Norfolk Southern lines run. And it only has so big of an opening. They're not widening the opening, so they're lowering the channel, which means that the water will get to that spot faster, which means it'll back up and pond faster. And my client's property is the one that's closest to that ponding area. So that's a concern that we have, and that's primarily why
we're
here.
Well, that's what's driving this case, correct?
Pardon?
That's what's driving this case.
From my client's perspective,
correct. Last question. If hypothetically the county were funding this project and not the Army Corps, but the Army Corps was contributing the manpower, would that change your client's position in terms of whether or not this is a proper eminent domain?
Well, I think if the plans were prepared by the county, the construction funding was being provided directly, at least in part, by the county, and the county was overseeing the construction of the project, then it would have the attributes of a county project. But the other point as a matter of law, of course, is that under the county code, it can't be a county project unless and until the county council passes a law and shows that it meets certain standards, or passes a law that says we hereby forego those standards and supersede.
Okay, so there's a procedural issue here.
Correct.
Or requirement that would have to be met and hasn't been met, even if this were otherwise, by any measure, a county project.
And in fact, it's foreclosed under current county code from being a county project, because the specific provisions of the code forbid a county project in a stream that is within DENREC or Army Corps jurisdiction. Little Mill Creek is within both of their jurisdictions. It is a tidal stream that is a tributary to the Christina River, which is a navigable waterway, and falls within the legal jurisdiction of the Army Corps under Section 404 of the Clean Water Act, as well as their regulations, as well as the provisions of the Delaware Code regarding tidal waterways and wetlands. So unless the county, and of course the county could pass a law that says any other provisions of county code notwithstanding, we authorize this project. That's fine. This has been going on for 23 years, 1990. The flood that gave rise to it was 1989. The legislative activity and the government activity in response to that started in 1990. So one would think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now, but it hasn't.
Well, if it had, I gather what you're saying is if the county council had a meeting and, took the type of action that you just described to us, that would moot this litigation.
Except that we have issue two, which is that Section 1525 is not broad enough to bring a flood control project within its purview. And segging to that, unless Your Honor has another question, I'll move on to that argument, which is that everybody concedes that this is not a widening or a straightening project. It's going to deepen the channel by 3 feet. So it is a dredging or deepening project. The only term within Section 1525, the only phrase that could cover that, is alter the course. So that's what that boils down to. What is the meaning of alter the course? We all agree alter means modify. So the only question that remains is what does the word course mean? And of course, no pun intended, the county even concedes that it's path. And we believe it's clear and unambiguous. It's the directional meanderings of a stream or run. Now, this statute was enacted at a time that it was clearly intended at the outset to be for road and bridge work, because in 1931 the counties did the roads for the most part. The State Highway Department wasn't even formed until 1917. So when it was enacted, it was small creeks and runs for a particular purpose, and that is that it was to be an ancillary authority for purposes of carrying out road and bridge work. And so when we look at the language and you look at the clear and plain definition of the term course, this is simply to allow for the relocation or the redirection of streams in order to accommodate roads. And in 1931, of course, we had a lot of dirt roads that were being paved in that Depression era public works funding situation. So now scroll forward to today. The language says what it says, so it's not limited to road and bridge work. However, it is very narrow and it's very limited, and it does not include a dredging or deepening project.
Can I interrupt? I'm sorry to go back to a point from a few minutes ago, but I'm a little bit confused about it. What is the legal basis for your statement that the county cannot use its eminent domain power unless an ordinance is passed saying to go ahead?
Well, under Chapter 12 of the county code, which is entitled drainage, because that's what the county does. It does drainage from land. If it approves a land development plan, it wants to make sure that the streams and water courses are going to properly receive that. So to get to your point, though, Your Honor, under Chapter 12, generally speaking, the county's sole role is to clear streams. If a tree falls in the stream, if a beaver dam is built.
Wait a second. Try to get me back to my question. My question is, what is the legal source of your statement that the county cannot use its eminent domain power unless county council has passed an ordinance authorizing it? Maybe I've misunderstood what you said. But
it does not Chapter 12 does not specifically say that county council must adopt an ordinance. But under Chapter 11 of the county code, all matters that have the force of law must be adopted by the county council in the form of a written ordinance. So read that in paramateria with Chapter 12, which says that the county council must approve it. My argument is that it must approve it pursuant to an ordinance. Now, maybe a resolution would do, but either way, there has to be some formal passage of legislation. That's my point.
And you made that argument to the trial court?
Yes. And we also made the argument that, of course, unless you, in addition, under Chapter 12, it specifically says that under these extraordinary circumstances where they may address flooding issues, they cannot proceed unless they can voluntarily acquire the right-of-way. So this is not a county code Chapter 12 project, which is the only type of county project permitted under the code. And I would submit that perhaps the county's gone beyond its state-delegated authority to some degree, because as we noted, generally speaking, flood control is within the purview of DENREC and the Newcastle Conservation District, and in the other two counties, the Kent and Sussex Conservation District. So they deal with flooding. The county deals with drainage. So in any event, the county has gone far afield of its delegated authority, and it certainly not complied with the procedural requisites that are contained in Chapter 12.
I think you said earlier that this course of conduct, as far as the county is concerned, has been going on for 23 years. Is that right?
The planning for addressing the flood issue is a 23-year process.
And over that 23-year period, has there been any taking of private property before today?
I do not believe so. My understanding from the presentations before the trial court by the county's attorney was this was the only non-voluntary acquisition. I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Williams, good morning.
Good morning, Justices. May it please the court. Greg Williams from Fox Rothschild on behalf of Newcastle County. Justices, I'd like to start with just some background. Keep in mind that we have a record here, and there was an extensive hearing at the Superior Court in front of Judge Davis. And Judge Davis made a number of factual findings as well as legal conclusions. We submit that the record shows that Newcastle County filed its complaint in condemnation on March 6, 2013, pursuant to and in accordance with Title 10, Section 6105. The complaint contained a caption. It named the owner of the property being taken. It named the property designated generally by kind, quantity, and location. It contained a short and plain statement of the authority for the taking, which is Title 9, Section 1525 of the Delaware Code, and the public use for which the property was being taken. And that is to widen and alter Little Mill Creek as part of this flood control project.
Can I interrupt you and ask you the same question
Sure.
I asked opposing counsel?
Yes.
Opposing counsel says that the county had to pass a resolution or an ordinance authorizing this action and that no such passing of legislation took place. What's your response to that?
That is incorrect, Justice. In fact, the county did two steps, took two actions to approve this taking in this project. One, it approved the project itself through the county budget. And the county specifically approved a specific budget item for this flood control project. And the record shows that the county for many years has designated $500,000 towards this project. And
okay,
that continues
to
this day.
That doesn't indicate that the county has approved a taking.
And also, Justice, the county, by specific resolution, which is in the record, approved the taking of Mr. Pellicone's counsel. That occurred at a public hearing, and the resolution was passed by county council. In fact, Mr. Pellicone and Mr. Abbott were both present.
So Mr. Abbott was mistaken when he said that there had been no action by the county to approve this?
That is correct, Justice. You can find that the resolution by county council authorizing Newcastle County to proceed with the condemnation action to acquire the permanent easement and two construction easements that issue in this action in the record at B57.
Thank you.
Justices, the record contained the complaint that had the affidavit of necessity executed by the chief administrative officer of Newcastle County. The resolution.
Excuse me. Just I want to go back to the contention here that in order for the action that the county took to be procedurally correct, that there had to be, and I think I have this right. I think I have Mr. Abbott's position right, that there also had to be an ordinance or resolution of some kind. Number one, is that your understanding of the issue here? And secondly, what did Judge Davis, how did Judge Davis deal with that issue?
First, Justice Jacobs, that is, Mr. Abbott claims that the county has to pass a specific resolution approving the flood control project. Well, the county did that by two actions. One, by specifically approving in the county budget the funds to be used for the flood control project, as well as, two, specifically approving a resolution that was approved by county council, approving the county to proceed with the condemnation action.
Right, but that was later.
Yes.
But let's focus on the first.
Mm-hmm.
Was that budget, I mean, does county council enact budgets through a resolution?
Yes, the budget itself was approved by resolution, and that includes that's approval of everything in that budget.
And did the budget at issue here, or I guess at issue every year, that $500,000 was authorized, describe specifically this project?
Yes, it did. It described specifically this flood control project, which is known as Little Mill Creek 2. Keep in mind also, Justices, that this is phase 2 of a project that had a phase 1, which was similar in nature to this project. It was a multi-agency project between the county, the state, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, DNREC, and the Conservation District. That phase 1 involved another part of the creek. It involved properties that had to be acquired for that part of the phase, and that phase was completed in 2007. This is phase 2 of that. This is simply the same thing. It's just on a different part of the creek. It's just not credible to believe that Section 9 Delaware Code 1525 does not allow the county to do this. That statute provides, and I quote, Newcastle County with the power to acquire property through its eminent domain powers in order to, quote, widen, straighten, or alter the course of any part of any small run or creek in the county, such as Little Mill Creek. Mr. Abbott made the same arguments to Judge Davis that phrase does not include widening vertically or deepening the creek bed. And
is it factually correct that this case is the first occasion that the county has had to exercise eminent domain power in connection with this project?
In this phase, yes, Your Honor. That
or in
is.
Phase 1?
In phase 1, all of it was done by negotiated through all the property owners consented. There are 39 properties in this phase 2. We have the property by consent from 38 of the 39 owners. Again, Mr. Pellicone is the only property owner that would not consent, which necessitated the condemnation. And as the justices previously recognized, we are talking about a very insignificant portion of property here. The permanent easement is 6/100ths of an acre, and the temporary construction easement themselves are only 2/10ths of an acre. The record is clear, and Judge Davis specifically found that, as a matter of fact, that Newcastle County, the Army Corps of Engineers, the State of Delaware, and others are partnering to complete this project. The county's engineer testified under oath that this is a multi-agency project. It's not the county using its eminent domain power as a Trojan horse for the U.S. Army Corps engineer. The county has some real and direct involvement here. The county prepared a portion of the designs that it forwarded to the U.S. Army Corps engineer with respect to a property that's part of this project. The county has expended significant amounts of funds, as Judge Davis expressly found, as a matter of fact. Judge Davis also expressly found, as a matter of fact, that while the Army Corps of Engineers and others will be involved in completing this flood control project, these parties are not private parties and certainly are not going to be owning, occupying, or developing the easements for private use. Instead, the Army Corps of Engineers, a division of the United States Army and not a private corporation, is responsible for the design and construction of the project But he found that, however, the permanent easement and temporary easements will be in favor of Newcastle County and not the Army Corps of Engineers or any other third party. He said this is not a situation where the property will eventually reside with a private party, which is the situation that was meant to be addressed by Title 29, Delaware Code, Section 9501A. This is not a Kelo situation. All these entities are public agencies. All of these entities are public agencies. And for that reason, Judge Davis expressly found that the proposed use of this taking in combination is a public use. The Superior Court's factual findings are supported by the record, were the product of an orderly and logical reasoning process, and should be upheld.
Was there live testimony, or was this a paper record?
This was Mr. Abbott and Mr. Pelicone were allowed to take a Rule 30B6 designation of the county, which he did. And then there was a hearing on the record, and it was between counsel, but the record of the depositions, everything was there. Moreover, the record is clear that once construction of this project is complete, because it's common for municipalities and subdivisions around the country to call on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers when there is something that has to do with water to complete the project. The record is clear here, in this case, that once the construction of this project is complete, it will be Newcastle County's and not the Army Corps of Engineers' continued responsibility to maintain that infrastructure of that project and to keep Little Mill Creek free-flowing. Also, it cannot be reasonably disputed that this flood control project will ultimately benefit Newcastle County and the citizens of Newcastle County.
What's the status of the project at the present time?
The status of the project is ongoing. There has been the design is complete. There has been some construction is in its initial stages and is ongoing.
So I guess more specifically, has any of Mr. Pelicone's property been used at the present time?
I don't believe any of Mr. Pelicone's property has been used at this time, Justice. The fact that the Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for the design and construction of the project, as well as some of its financing, does not transform the Army Corps into the entity that will be undertaking possession, occupation, or utilization of Pelicone's land. Now, in appellant's brief, it cited to a case, the State versus George F. Lane Company case, in support of its argument that the flood control project is an Army Corps project and does not include a public agency. However, that argument is misplaced. In fact, that case supports the county's position. In that case, this court acknowledged that Interstate 95 serves both a local purpose as well as an interstate or federal purpose, and concluded that the fact that such a dual purpose is served should not and does not preclude that highway from at the same time being a state highway.
That was the Del Dot condemnation case, though, right, for I-95?
Yes.
And Del Dot does have eminent domain power.
Yes. Just.
What's your position with regard to the argument by Mr. Abbott that the Superior Court did not address all of the relevant issues?
My position is that appellant's counsel is incorrect. There was an extensive and lengthy hearing on this matter. Justice, you have the record. Judge Davis was very careful and deliberate in hearing all of the arguments. He was patient and took time to draft a well-reasoned and thoughtful opinion, which is part of the record.
just to follow up on Justice Holland's question, I do recall that Judge Davis addressed the issue of whether this is a this taking is for a public purpose. I don't recall, and help, maybe you can, you know, refresh my recollection, what Judge Davis said in connection with the claim that the county could not proceed unless it was by either formal ordinance or resolution, nor do I recall what he said in response to the argument that, this project was not an alteration or a widening or whatever the other language, statutory language was.
With respect to, I'll take your second question first, with respect to what Judge Davis said with respect to the scope of, does this fall within the scope of Title IX, Delaware Code, Section 1525, he found that it expressly does. In fact, he noted that, he said that he doesn't even think he needs to get to the phrase alter the course of, because widening is in the statute, and that widening could be horizontal or vertical.
He did say that.
And if you look at...
I'll take your word for it if that's if the opinion.
Yes.
I just don't have it in front of me.
Yes, that's in the record. I have that at A633 in the record, A633.
You're citing to the opinion?
I'm citing to the transcript in the lower court, in the superior court.
That's, not the that's written the, opinion.
It's in the opinion as well. He didn't specifically say all that in the opinion, but he did find that it was within the project, that this was within the scope of Section 1525.
Is simply a vertical widening?
He did not express go into that much detail in the opinion, but he did find that it is what is being done is within the statute, the parameters of the statute. With respect to the your second question, he also in his factual findings. Found that the county, I'm not sure if he found that the county could, Mr. Abbott made the same arguments. We made the argument that it was approved through the county council and the specific resolution. He recognized the specific resolution by the county that authorized the taking of this project, and that's how he dealt with that issue.
As a factual matter.
As a factual matter. So with that, Justices, I will conclude by, again, just wrapping up. We believe it's the county's position that the Superior Court correctly concluded that Newcastle County is authorized under Title IX, Delaware Code, Section 1525, to condemn the property at issue here to accomplish the widening or altering of Little Mill Creek in connection with this flood control project, that Pelicone's position that this is somehow the county being a Trojan horse for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is misguided and not based in fact and or law, and that the acquisition of Mr. Pelicone's land in connection with this flood control project is a proper public use and within the meaning of public use as defined in Title 29, Delaware Code, Section 9501A. If there are no more questions, I will conclude my argument.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Justices, I think it's safe to say that intergovernmental coordination and cooperation is not an unusual occurrence. But the mere assistance of one governmental entity in favor of another governmental entity does not transform a project into both of their projects. And that's essentially what the county's arguing here. If we give a gratuitous helping hand to the Army Corps, then it miraculously becomes a county project. Not so. It's a legal issue. And all of the documents that make up this project, the plans, the designs, the bid package, the funding, the oversight, will all be undertaken by the Army Corps. Even the affidavit of the assistant county engineer conceded as much. So other than, as I said before, the mere ipsy-dixit of the county, there is no basis to believe that this is a county project. Now, the reason why the county has appropriated funds for over 20 years, the 500...
What would it take to make this a county project?
To make it a county project, they would have to approve it pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 12 or enact legislation which waived the provisions of Chapter 12. And they've done neither. The legislative enactment that authorized the condemnation was done pursuant to Chapter 2 of the county code, which says that if the county council wants condemnation to be initiated for any purpose, then it has to authorize it because the county executive will then file it. So that enactment has nothing to do with Chapter 12. The other enactment, which is the annual capital budget or capital program of the county, which has been in effect for over 20 years, this has been a line item in there. I believe it's called Little Mill Creek 2, Roman numeral 2. And it's been in there because the county has, at the outset, the county thought it was going to have a formal role. And as we noted in the briefing, this project morphed from what was going to be in the 90s a multi-agency project into a solely Army Corps project because federal funding was procured in 2005 and then I think in 2009. And now the Army Corps will be paying for 100% of the construction.
Is there any substantive difference between the formal action that the county council took under, as you say, Chapter 2, what it would have done had it acted under Chapter 12? I mean, are we talking here about just inserting one digit?
No. We're talking about substantive difference because all the ordinance or the resolution says is the county executive is authorized to commence eminent domain proceedings against Mr. Pellicone to acquire the easements. That's it. Now, there's whereas clauses that are prefatory in nature, but the substance of the actual resolution simply authorizes the filing of condemnation.
What about the approval of the specific approval of the project through the annual county budget?
There's no narrative language. It's basically an exhibit in a long program booklet that includes multiple projects and describes the amount of funding and has a name for it.
So is it action under Chapter 12?
No. There's clearly no reference to a waiver of the provisions and standards under Chapter 12 or an indication that they're satisfied. So Chapter 12 has not been met. The other point, I think this is a big picture point, is under this court's 1986 decision in the Wilmington Parking Authority case involving the Libby's restaurant taking, this court held that if there is a issue over the delegated power of eminent domain, then this court places the burden of proof on the condemning agency. So the county has the burden here. And that was something that wasn't referenced in the Superior Court decision, but that
was a case where the Libby's property was going to be taken by the city and then transferred to the news journalists so that they could expand their headquarters, their plant.
That's true. However,
that's not this case.
It's a Trojan horse argument. The argument is effectively the same.
The Achilles heel is that clearly a public agency is going to own and be responsible for maintaining the taken property.
That is incorrect. The county will not be maintaining jurisdiction over this stream because, as I noted earlier, it is within the Army Corps and DENREC's jurisdiction, not the county's. I don't know where they came up with that. Again, that's part of the sham affidavit.
The representation that the county will end up having title is a sham?
No, but just because the county has easement title doesn't mean that they're the one using, occupying, or possessing. And that's the key under the public use definition. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. The court will take the matter under advisement and also recess.
Please rise.